And I just had all these like really catastrophic thoughts of I could have killed her, just all these really horrible thoughts that you get postpartum. And then from that night on, the insomnia just started. That it does end, like it does get better. You just have to, it's all education. That's the only way out of it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think like it's learning, you know, sleep efforts aren't needed. Sleep hygiene is a load of rubbish. And I wish I never learned about sleep hygiene. My God, that just sent me into a massive spiral. So yeah, it just gets better. It gets better. And it's not forever.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to yet another really special Talking Insomnia episode. We have Caitlin with us. Welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Super nice that you're here, and can't wait to hear your story and share your insights with the community. But speaking of the community, people may wonder, like, how did this come to be? Well, you were actually a bedtime student,
yeah.
And you connected, you told me that, you know, I'd be happy to share my story. And I was like, yeah, that'd be really great. So that's the backstory. But with that said, tell us in your words, how did you start having trouble sleeping?
So I used to be a great sleeper. I'm a registered nurse. So, you know, I was used to 12-hour night shifts and sleeping at all weird hours. And then I had my daughter. So what would happen would I'd put her to bed and I would fixate on getting as much sleep as possible throughout the night. So I think that's what started my issues. And I'd wake up, breastfeed, go back to bed. Everything was fine. And then when she was about 6 months old, so this puts us in November of 22, I stopped breastfeeding. And around that time, I would wake up around 3 a.m. and just really struggle to get back to sleep. So I was like, it has to be my hormones. That's the only thing that could make any sense. So I started getting my hormones tested. They were fine, of course. I also have Graves' disease, which is like a thyroid disorder. So that was my next thing. I'm like, it has to be my thyroid. Was not my thyroid, that was medicated and fine. And then in January, I went away for a hen's weekend, so like a bachelorette weekend, and we were due to leave the Friday. And that morning I woke up about 3:30 and just could not get back to sleep. And that just sent me into a spiral and it ruined my whole day. I just told everyone, I was like, I didn't sleep, it's the worst thing in the world. And had a pretty good day. And then that night, it was my first night away from my daughter where I didn't have to be responsible for her. So I was like, oh, I'll just take a sleeping tablet so I can have the best sleep ever. Took a diazepam and looked at the clock and it was 1 a.m. And I was like, this is weird. Like, I'm not asleep. And I took another one. The sun rose and it's 6 a.m. And I was like, I have been awake for 24 hours. This doesn't make sense. This is terrifying. And of course, let everyone know how horrible my night was and just let it ruin the whole weekend, essentially. And then everything was fine. And then I had another hen's weekend a month later and the same thing happened, except I took antihistamines because I was like, oh, they always work. I use them for nursing. And again, I watched the sunrise and didn't sleep. And I had to then drive 3 hours to this hen's weekend. So that was where this all kind of started. And then I had about a week later, I had an event in a pet shop where I was holding my daughter and I slipped over in some urine, dog urine, obviously. And I just had all these like really catastrophic thoughts of I could have killed her, just all these really horrible thoughts that you get postpartum. And then from that night on, the insomnia just started. So I know you talk about like in the bedtime app, it could be a predisposing event. And I was so convinced it was that. Now I know it wasn't that, but that's what I fixated on for the next 6 months, essentially.
Yeah, I hear. Wow, thanks for sharing this. And, you know, before we kind of, you know, go on, you know, continue your story, like a couple of things I want to ask you, like before becoming pregnant, never any struggle sleeping, you know, and during your pregnancy or right after you had your baby, did your take on sleep change in a sense that people told you like it's really important that you sleep?
Yeah.
Or
so everyone says sleep when the baby sleeps, which is why I would go to sleep with her. I did get insomnia while I was pregnant, but I didn't overthink it. I didn't catastrophize it because it's expected and everyone tells you you're going to get insomnia while you're pregnant. So yeah, just didn't let it affect me.
I hear.
Yeah.
Okay. So everybody told you like sleep when the baby sleeps and, mm-hmm. you know, did you sort of try that and you didn't sleep and did it make you nervous or what happened with that advice?
No, because while I was breastfeeding, I would sleep when she slept. Like the moment I put her down at 8 o'clock at night, I was out like a light. So mm-hmm. it did work. So I didn't think too much about it.
All right. But it reminded me again, it was when your daughter was 6 months old and you stopped yeah. breastfeeding.
Yeah. Right, that it right. all just happened. Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder, you know, sometimes we can have this idea that the waking up breastfeeding naturally disrupts our sleep. So then you may have this idea that, okay, when I stop breastfeeding, then I'll probably sleep really well.
Yeah.
Do you think that was in the background or?
For sure. And she was such a miracle baby. Like she was sleeping through the night from about 3 months old. So I didn't have anything to worry about. Like I was sleeping. Like I had every possible, you know, avenue to sleep. So.
Yeah. I think it's obvious for you and me here, but just for the audience, like when we have like that scenario, when there's like, you know, the baby's sleeping, I have a comfortable bed, I should be sleeping yeah. really well, that creates pressure yeah. for us. Yeah. But at that point, so, you know, when you stop breastfeeding, there was some, you know, some insomnia there. It sounded like at that point, it wasn't like, you know, something you thought about all day long. It wasn't a big anxiety, right?
No. So, and I'd never had anxiety and I did get postpartum anxiety, but I wasn't aware of it. So this was just all cooking in the background. So I just had no idea what was actually happening.
And it sounded like, although, you know, it was kind of a very strange experience and you're somewhat worried during these, do you call it hens weekend or hens?
Yeah, you guys call them bachelorette weekends. Yeah. yeah.
Okay. Bachelorette weekends.
So I had two in a row.
It sounded like it was strange to you what was happening, but it also didn't initially lead to that much kind of anxiety after the fact, right?
Yeah. And I just put it down to in the end, oh, it's because I'm away from my daughter and I am like a very type A control. And so I just thought because I'd lost control that this was happening. So I then developed this fear of, oh, I can't be away from my daughter at night because I won't sleep.
Yeah. All right. So to me, it's a story of like there have been some worries around sleep, but it hasn't become like insomnia has a life of its own at this point, right?
No, definitely
not.
Then
you have this odd event where you slip on like dog pee, you start really worrying about that. And after that, what happens? Does it become this kind of like the big one where you have multiple nights of not sleeping or what happened next?
It was just, it spiraled out of nowhere. And then I was on the phone to my doctor and I said, like, I need help. And he was really mad that it was a phone call because he said, I've got so many people calling me this week trying to get treatment for insomnia. It has to be like a one-on-one. And I said, well, I can't get in and I need help now. So he prescribed me melatonin and temazepam. So that was the start of like sleep medication and obviously doesn't work, but that was all the beginning. And I'd done a Pilates workout the day that I slipped over as well. So I told the doctor that and he said, oh yeah, you didn't sleep because you exercised too close to bedtime. And then that started the sleep hygiene like mess. So.
Totally. Yeah. And tell us about that. Like, you know, in terms of sleep hygiene, what did you do and what did you try to avoid?
Everything. So no chocolate, no caffeine after like 2 o'clock. I had to have my sleepy tea at 7 and my melatonin at 7:30. Exercise, couldn't exercise late, but I was, because of my daughter, I would do the PM workout classes because my partner would be here to look after her. Just real stupid things that I think we all try at the beginning. So, and none of it worked.
Totally. So, you know, you're doing that, you're prescribed this melatonin and temazepam, and did you find that kind of it helped a little bit for a while or it just didn't help? Yeah.
It did a little bit. So that's why you try to replicate what you did to get some sleep. And then obviously it wasn't working. So that's when I got a referral for a sleep psychologist to do the CBTI, which was the worst thing ever. So.
Wow. Yeah. Let's talk about that next, but just kind of so we have an idea, like from the time you call your doctor prescription and the time you get the referral to sleep psychologist, how long is this stretch now?
So this is in March. I got the referral. the very beginning of March is when I had the accident in the pet store, got the referral. So it all kind of happened quite quickly because I like to fix things. So I was like, I can't let this go on very long.
Okay, so from the time you got the prescription to your refer to sleep psychologist, that was just a week or two or something like that?
Yeah, it would have been a week.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't long.
All right, so you get this referral to a sleep psychologist and yeah, what happens with that?
So I went and saw him. He just mainly spoke about sleep hygiene and he wanted to do the data collection for 2 weeks where he said, don't change anything, but you need to write down when you woke up, all the usual stuff. And he pre-booked all my appointments for however long you do it for. It's like an 8 week.
Usually course. 8 weeks, yeah.
So he pre-booked them all. So I collected the data for 3 nights and I was like, this is killing me. I can't continue like this. My partner was like, this is making you worse. And so as people do, go on Reddit at like 2 a.m. And that's where I found, you mentioned where everyone finds you is Reddit. And then the next day I downloaded Bedtime and I showed my partner and he's like, why not? Just do it. And I think implementing that timeless window that I slept that night and I slept great. So that's where I had a bit of relief.
Oh, that's so nice. So you immediately had this kind of like magical moment, you know?
Yeah.
That's wonderful. And yeah, speaking of Reddit, it's kind of this like double-edged sword. Like on the one hand, people say it's like, I get so scared of Reddit, but that's often where people find us. So I'm glad you did.
It's a great source of information that you don't know you need.
Right. All right. So you have, you know, you download the app and did you work with, like nowadays we have this like kind of two tracks where you can kind of go, you know, you have this like AI support with Ellie or you can work with a sleep coach. Which one were you on?
You were with Chris. There was no AI yet. Yeah.
All right. Okay. So you sign up, you're working with Chris and you have this kind of like first sleep really well one night. What happens next?
Yeah. So sleep went well for the whole month. Like I'd still have my ups and downs, but because, you know, the modules aren't forced on you, they're daily, you're slowly learning. It just helped me accept everything a little bit better. Plus I was able to talk to Chris and he had some really good insight. So I did the 1 month of that and then sleep was pretty good for a month. And I was still terrified of the sun setting. So mind you, this whole time, like I was still very scared of nighttime. That kind of didn't go away. And I was still taking the sleep medication. I slowly weaned off it and realized that with the education that I didn't need, what do you call them again? Like things to make you go to bed.
All the sleep efforts.
Yeah, sleep efforts. I was trying to ditch all my sleep efforts at the time. And I did. I got rid of the teas, but I still had all these fears about exercise, checking the time, and just a bunch of things. And then I wanted to go back to work earlier, but I couldn't because I couldn't sleep. So I started a new job doing agency nursing. Like I had to ditch the night shift. I was like, I can never do the night shift again. Like I tried to start work and I couldn't because I was like, I'm not sleeping. So this was all happening around that time. So I'd messaged the sleep psychologist. I'd got rid of him. I said, cancel all my appointments. I've found this new avenue and it's working brilliantly. And he was like, awesome. Like, that's awesome. Just do what you need to do to get better. I'm here if you need me. So yeah. And then starting work just sent it all back. Like it just, I was convinced it had gone away and obviously it hadn't gone away, but yeah.
All right. So let's talk about that next, but I wanted to ask you, did you like doing the like 12-hour shifts or do you feel like you had to kind of give that up or you were not really so thrilled with that anyway? Or
yeah, I was planning on changing jobs anyways, but it did definitely, it limited where I can work. So in Australia, pretty much every nursing job that you do, you're expected to do all three shifts, AMs, PMs, and nights. So that's why I got stuck in this agency job where they just take you where you're needed and you choose your shift, but it's not guaranteed work. They can cancel on you last minute. So there was all this anxiety about if I don't sleep, what do I do? Like I can't nurse patients if I'm tired, like I could kill someone. So just more fear.
You know, you've done this kind of 1 month with Bedtime, you're starting to understand things. And I'm guessing that at some level, you sort of understand that, you know, avoiding maybe exercise or having kind of these kind of rituals, they are sleep efforts.
Yeah.
But it's also hard to kind of let go of them. Like, tell us about that situation.
Mind you, I did hold on to them up until like a month ago, some of them. Like I couldn't check the time until a month ago or 2 months ago. So yeah, letting go of them is really difficult. Like even now, if my partner's like, oh, have a magnesium before bed. And I'm like, no, because if I do something with an effort, then I'm not going to sleep. So it's still there. Like the paranoia is still there. And I hope one day it's gone. But yeah, it's really hard. But yeah. I can exercise now. I can do all these things I thought I couldn't do because they were going to hinder me sleeping.
Yeah, yeah. No, thanks for sharing that. And okay, so now back in the way you starting this emergency nurse work instead, and you actually are having a lot of trouble sleeping again, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So it was just so hit and miss. I would call in sick for shifts. Like if I don't check the time at night still because that's not going to benefit me in any way. Like I'm happy to lie there, but I'd start getting a bit scared. So I check the time. I'm like, oh crap, it's 2 a.m. I can't wake up for work in 3 hours. So I'd call in sick. And it was maybe happening once a week, and then it was happening every second night, and then it was happening every night again. So I knew something wasn't quite working. So I was very lost at that point. So then I came back to like your YouTube and I'd watch some stories. I started watching, who's the girl that you work with a bit?
Michelle or Alina?
Alina. I was watching some of Alina's. So she kind of helped because she speaks a lot about anxiety and sleep and, you know, say I'd have some good nights, I'd then tell someone, oh, I think I'm better. And that night I wouldn't sleep. And she speaks a lot about that effect happening to her. So I just learned to not talk about it. I felt like by talking about it, I was feeding it and making this worse. So I definitely learned to just keep it to myself a little bit. But yeah, work just continued on as much as I could because I was really scared about what if I don't sleep? How am I meant to look after my daughter? So my sister would come help a lot. Like, you know, because I was just so scared of, you know, being awake forever, which is really sad.
Totally here. And this stretch now with a lot of struggle, would you say it was like, it was equally difficult as that initial time period?
It was because I thought I was better, you know, because my sleep came back after a month of bedtime. I was convinced that this was gone. And obviously it was not gone, and I knew it wasn't gone because I had all those sleep efforts. And one thing I had to do every night was fall asleep on the couch. If I didn't fall asleep on the couch before bed, then I was like, oh, I'm not going to fall asleep in bed. And I remember I reached out to you on YouTube and I'd said, because I was desperate at this point, I was like, how do I get rid of this sleep effort? Because, you know, I would sleep well if I fell asleep on the couch, but now this isn't happening. And then everyone was like, well, you can't make yourself sleep. So I don't think like that.
I hear. And when you heard that, it kind of clicked.
I gotta ditch this. Like, this isn't working. I just gotta go to bed like a normal person.
Yeah. And actually, staying on that topic, because you know, so many people will relate to that. Just the kind of like, you know, falling on the sleep, feeling like you have to fall asleep on the couch first. How did that change? Did you make a decision, or did it kind of like just fade away by itself? Or
look, it's still something that's a little bit there. It's not completely gone. Like, I know I can go to bed and fall asleep, but I'm like, hang on, I slept great when I went to bed after sleeping on the couch. So it's still one of those things that's still a little bit there. So, but it is going. I'm like, I'm being stupid. Like, I can go to bed, stop it.
All right. So not to put you in the spot or anything like that. Whatever you say is totally fine. It's always something to learn from. But at this point, do you sometimes go to bed, like in your bed, or do you kind of always fall asleep on the couch?
Always fell asleep on the couch.
Okay.
Always, yeah. It was just something that I felt like I had to do.
Yes, and you still do.
No, so now, no, not I can go to bed, but I'm still in my mind, I'm still a little bit like I slept better because I fell asleep on the couch. So
yeah.
I mean, some of those things are still there.
Yeah, no, I totally understand. So you recognize that some of the ideas are still there, but which takes a while.
It's hard to unlearn things, right? Really hard to unlearn.
100%. Absolutely. And now going back to, you know, we're in this kind of second phase of like really difficult insomnia, but now, you know, you're tuning into my YouTube channel, to Alina's YouTube channel. How do things progress from there?
I think I was just starting to learn more. So, you know, education is what gets you out of this. And so watching the channels and just trying to understand what was going on. So I was really anxious, still scared at nighttime. And then I downloaded your two books because I was like, I'm just, maybe I'll go back to basics. I'd flick back through bedtime, the app, and try and understand some things. But I don't know whose story it was, but one girl or one lady that you wrote about, she'd said something like, with the anxiety, there's no story. There's nothing there. It's just a thought. And that really resonated with me. And that kind of got rid of it. Like, not got rid of it, but if I was anxious or I wasn't sleeping, I just tell myself, there's no story. Like, what am I doing to myself? And that was actually a big turning point, weirdly enough. Just that little bit of information really helped.
So yeah. Glad. And I think you probably read this book, Tales of Courage. Oh, there. Yeah.
That's the one it came from, I think, where it's the snippets of everyone's story.
Exactly. Yeah. Now that's amazing. And, you know, I think of it as like, you know, if you had seen the exact same phrase, I don't know, 2 months earlier, it probably wouldn't have changed anything. So I think it is the culmination of so many things you've learned, but then it can be like this one phrase where kind of everything you learned kind of clicks, you know, and that's magical when that happens.
Yeah.
Wow. And are you, I am guessing that at this point you're finding that maybe you're not calling in so much or
no. So I started a new job just at one hospital, so no longer agency, but it's still casual. So they book you in as they needed. And I wasn't calling, I haven't called in sick once. So that's pretty big for me. So I started the job, I think, in September or October. But then there was one night where I didn't sleep and I was getting close to calling in sick. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go to work. I'm just going to face whatever it is. I'm going to go to work on no sleep and just see what happens. And I went to work on probably 1 hour sleep, and it was just an 8-hour shift. And I don't know if it was adrenaline, I don't know what it was, but I got through the shift and I was like, I feel great. So by just overcoming that hurdle, that was just one more thing where I was like, oh, I can do this. Like, I can go to work if I don't sleep. This is fine. So it was just these little wins that have helped.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that's kind of a goosebumps moment. I just, you know, you hear that your story is so powerful when you realize like you barely slept, but you've made this decision that I'm going to go to work either way, and it works out. You see that you can. It's so amazing to hear that. So glad, and it makes such a big difference because like you may still have nights where you sleep a little bit. Now it's, you know, you show yourself that it's, you know, you can do what you need to do anyway. It's so helpful. So glad to hear that. Yeah. And to me, it's now a story of kind of like the struggle is fading thanks to your inner work, your education. But were any more kind of like moments, like notable moments or insights or things that happened after that? Or
what happened? So another big thing, obviously, from the beginning was I was convinced I couldn't leave my daughter. So we had a wedding interstate and we were not going to take her because it was just too much. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm not going to sleep it. This whole beautiful weekend away. And I did. So that was another one. So I'd gone to work with no sleep and I went to this wedding. So it was just two of the big things that really needed to happen in order to get over the insomnia.
Oh, that's amazing. So glad to hear that.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing that going to that wedding, you know, you'd had those two weekends with the bachelorette parties. Yeah. Were those in the background as well?
Oh yeah, I was terrified. And the morning we were due to go to the airport at like 7 and I probably fell asleep around 4 a.m. So I still do have difficulty sleeping if I know something big's coming up. So yeah, those weekends were definitely playing in my head.
Yeah. Wow. And now just a question popped up in my mind, like many of us will sleep a little kind of like before kind of a big event, big trip or something like that. You know, looking back, do you see that actually that happened even before, but you didn't think of it or not?
Not really. That's what I was trying to like realize at the time. But no, I was always, you know, oh, we're going to New York tomorrow. I'm going to sleep anyways. Yeah, I was a pretty good sleeper.
Yeah. Now, two more questions for you. One is, if you could, you know, travel back in time and tell you something, maybe that first week when things were really difficult after the dog pee incident, what will you tell yourself?
That it does end, like it does get better. You just have to, it's all education. That's the only way out of it. Well, I mean, I think like it's learning, you know, sleep efforts aren't needed. Sleep hygiene is a load of rubbish. And I wish I never learned about sleep hygiene. My God, that just sent me into a massive spiral. So yeah, it just gets better. It gets better. And it's not forever.
Wow. And one more question for you. Have you found that like learning from this, like going through the struggle with sleep and learning from it, has it, you know, what you learn, has that been helpful in other areas of life?
Yeah, like at the beginning, I was kind of thankful for the insomnia in a way. It made me appreciate everything a little better. Like, I don't know. I was obviously quite anxious and a bit depressed, but I don't know. I just got different insight into things. I'm like, everything isn't that bad. So yeah, a little bit thankful for it. Definitely. Just, yeah, changed me as a person. I'm way more patient. Like I've ran into some friends who hadn't seen for ages and they're like, you're different. I'm like, yeah, I just don't care anymore. I just don't care about a lot of things. There's no point.
Wow.
In a good way.
Oh, that's super nice to hear because, you know, you're always a, you know, a good sleeper. Sleep came easy to you. And I didn't, you never said like, oh, I used to be anxious or I was an anxious person. So maybe you weren't that, but you were always kind of driven type A.
Yeah, so that
maybe has changed a little bit, or right?
Yeah, yeah. I'm just not as controlling. A little bit, I still am. Yeah. My partner would definitely agree with that. But yeah, just about other things, I'm not as crazy.
Yeah, wow. Super nice. Well, yeah, I just want to say thank you so much, Caitlin, for being here sharing. And
No, thank you. Like the insomnia wouldn't have gone, honestly, without what you have available. So thank you. I'd probably still be, I don't know, doing round two of CBTI or something horrible. So thank you.
Anytime. So glad we connected and again, be in touch now.
Yeah.
They say that the best things in life are free. And I truly hope that this free video helps you rediscover something else that is free, which is peaceful sleep. If you do find our content here helpful, then please hit the like button, hit the subscribe button, share it with people, because the more views we get, the more people we reach, the more chances of changing lives we have. The thing is, leaving insomnia for good is actually so, so simple. You can and will rediscover a beautiful life at the end of this sleepless tunnel. So yes, please share it with people, hit the subscribe button, and you will be a big part of leading the change that we so want to see in the sleep universe. Thank you.